listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Hello.
Hi.
Good day. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, this will be like the 19th take.
Well, yes, on this topic.
Getting to like.
So, that is a very non talked about topic.
Yeah,
in our circles.
It seems a touchy subject for me.
Yes.
So yeah, I've not been able to, but yeah, the Lord is our help. So yeah, I think even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, once we are done, we are done. Yeah, so we want to talk about
drum roll. Injustice.
Yeah, injustice. So right, so injustice and the church and Christianity. Right.
Why does the church have a problem with that word? I heard someone say one time that it's not in the Bible, so justice in the Bible.
Justice, of course. When you say that the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice.
Why does that person say that? Very good.
Yeah, is it righteousness and judgment, maybe. So for me, like, the issue I've had thinking about is how that, injustice in Christian circles not only exist, but they seem to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, so what are we doing right to
to create an enabling environment for culture injustice?
Yes, exactly. So what are we doing right? And so that's kind of like the thoughts that why do we have why do we excuse injustice in our community, in church communities? And I feel like we even cover it with the blood.
Yes.
Right. Well,
cover it with a lot of things.
Yeah, where the blood can now be the basis for injustice to thrive.
Because the blood of Jesus, blood just washes away. Because we just have to see that it will wash away all things.
Yeah.
And so, well, wash it away for who though? For the abuser or the abused?
I think we'll get to that. I think so. Maybe we'll talk about OSAS. Yeah? Once saved, always saved.
I don't think it's just OSAS because it thrives also in certain things that don't deal with OSAS.
Yeah. True that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's very
good. I can't believe you call it OSAS.
Yeah. So, once saved, always saved. Yeah, so, I feel like I am a proponent of, I believe that once saved, always saved. But I feel like it's all. Everybody was once saved and everybody is always saved.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't believe salvation is something you do.
You have to keep maintaining.
Yeah, you keep maintaining. Salvation is a person. His name is Jesus.
Hey.
Yeah. So, our salvation is entirely a gift. It's grace. So that's why we cannot boast. So, but yeah, I think. But our actions have consequences. I feel like that's what we try to sweep under the blood.
Mm.
The consequences of our actions.
And it's not necessarily God.
Punishing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just consequences of your action. So, for instance, like someone who is jumping off a cliff,
you will fall.
You will fall.
Gravity like, will drop.
God is not the person that pushed you down.
You know?
Yeah. But how we portray God is that when a child of God or like a human being commits suicide, it will be like God will still kill the person on top of the suicide he committed. Like, how daft are you to take your own life?
You will not go to hell.
So God will not like double punishment, but I feel like what God does, if somebody jumps off the cliff, God does not like, look at what my stupid daughter has done, I will raise her up from the dead and kill her again. I feel like what God does is that when people do stuff like that, he would go after them and die with them. I feel like that's what the cross of Christ is about, the God who dies with us.
So you're saying God jumps with us?
Yeah, God jumps with us. Like people who, like in the book, Eve, Lily was asking Eve that if I jump, what will Adonai do? Right? Will Adonai catch me? Then
some people are afraid of this podcast. I'm always referring to books. We don't get to the Bible,
So, but Eve was like, if Adonai will catch you, but to you it will feel like he did not. Right? So but I feel like
that because our mind is not even, we're not trained to see him in situations like that. Do you understand?
Yeah. So again, we have that God who is far away, distant. But again, God is so near to us. That's why I love that song, Closer Than the Air I Breathe. You know, so it's the very air we breathe. So whatever we do, God is never away from us.
It's not in heaven with a cup of tea, like, oh dear.
What a loss.
Oh, what a loss, oh dear.
And yeah, it reminds me of what Andre Rip, I heard him say recently of how how does God know all things? Because of he experiences everything. Yeah, so God's knowledge of everything is not that it's from a distance, like watching a crystal ball and seeing how everything plays. Yeah, so he's rather the God who is present in everyone, everywhere, and feeling. They say we have not an high priest who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin.
So he's participating
He participates with us in all our crap, everything we bring to the table. Right, that's the great love God has for us. So, but back to justice. Yeah, so justice. I feel like
you were asking what are the things we do in our circles that nurture a good environment for injustice.
Yeah, so I feel like the theology, right, the theology of justification, like as long as you have been saved, right, then there is, I feel like the narrative of salvation, like going to heaven or like as a ticket, is not the best paradigm, or looking at God as a judge, right, that and is a judge who gives like, okay, guilty or free. And the basis for your salvation or damned is whether you accepted Jesus.
So, like, God can turn a blind eye.
So, God will turn a blind eye as long as you have Jesus. So, no need. You have kissed the ring. So, I no longer see you. I see my son. You know, so all your bad is swept under the blood, under the rug. Right?
I just feel like that is like one reason.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind of like that.
One reason. Because like in Orthodox settings, I don't think they mean it's just fear and honor. Or how do I call it? Honor. Like there's a thin line between honor and people feel like it's like if someone in authority did something wrong for you, coming out to talk about it is dishonor or
back to Loki, right? It's preserving the tradition over truth.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'd like to protect our group. Like, oh, if this word, if word gets out, everything that we have built for God will be destroyed.
Our white will be stained.
Yeah, so to preserve for the peace and of the community. And exactly. Now, this is what René Girard was talking about in the mimetic theory. How violence is what gives birth to religion. It's not religion that gives birth to violence, it's a statement though. So, but how, right? So for peace to reign in the society, oftentimes the society comes up with a scapegoat. Somebody that if we kill, right? So that's how like they abused in a church setting now.
That comes out.
It's now like the scapegoat.
Like the stigma, the shame.
So instead of the head of the church,
Or whoever the perpetrator,
and the number of people who will go down with them, instead of them to go down, they will pick a scapegoat, and usually it's the weakest in the society.
Or the abused.
Right?
So the defenseless. So which is fear? So they use the tool of fear.
Yeah.
It's a tool of fear now because I can't come out to say anything because they've always been the person and do scapegoat.
Yeah, exactly. So fear is that kind of like what keeps everybody in check.
It's not like the love of Christ or anything.
Yeah. So even though we know that there is this, and then we are afraid that if you speak up, you're going to be speaking against God.
Yes.
That God is the one that has given them power.
Anointed.
Yeah, and especially when there are still manifestations, so there is apparent glory still evident in the ministry. So you dare not, because of if you come and speak against the Lord's anointed.
And some people even believe you, all those kind of things. So I'm going to ask a question, and then we're about to answer that. Yes, but it doesn't make sense, because don't these people know that then the circle keeps going around, it keeps happening over and over again. So what they're trying to tell me now is that their traditions are more important than the people.
Yeah, exactly. So we feel like how do they say it? That they're just casualties of war or collateral damage, right? So that's how people have been reduced. That in the grand scheme of things, right? What's important is people who are going to heaven and people who are going to hell.
Like,
so whether,
for the sake of the souls at that point.
Yeah, exactly. For the sake of the soul. Or they'll be like, so it just your little, like, so the abuser or like people who are aware of the abuse happening, they'll be like, oh, the amount of souls this person has brought into the kingdom is more than the people he had hurt.
So therefore it balances.
So it balances, you know, there's, you know, and you get, so.
And in other times, if they're abusing it, it's like financial abuse, like when you're meant to pay someone for something, you now make it look like they are giving a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you now put them under the, I think they're out of Tuesday. And you're like, oh no, they are saying this. Pay people their money, brethren. Church people, please be paying each other your money for services.
Yeah, so I feel like, I think it's back to what is the gospel, right? So our interpretation of the gospel is what's going to either sustain or free us from the bondage of, or the cycle of oppression.
True.
Right? Because of, like, if we interpret the gospel as a conquest that God was killing Jesus, right, or was that God was enacting justice on Jesus. I can't even like
straight by butter, justice, know, for your peace,
you know. But if we see the gospel as God dying at our hands, it changes the dynamics, and we now see that there are many times we kill Jesus again and again and want to.
Reminds me of one of the lines, Paul Young, when we say God is a control.
Yeah, okay,
we're the ones in control, actually. We're the ones that call all the shots. We don't, they're all of a sudden, when it's inconvenient, and that means that if God is in control. We're the ones that, everything, we're the ones that plotted, planned, and it now came out the way it did. So it's not like it's, we're the ones.
Yeah, so we are powerful, right? We, our choices matter, right? God is not in control in the sense that the one who rapes somebody, God is there, like giving him a thumbs up. Or controlling that if
there was a reason it happened to you. It's part
there's a plan, exactly. And so perhaps that's a lie. We'll just debunk that, you know, God has a perfect plan.
Yes, I was reading the other day on Paul Young, and I was like, oh, this makes sense. It's not God's plan. Someone drove and hit somebody, the person that says God's plan. It's not God's plan. The person was drunk and shouldn't have been drunk and should have been driving.
Yeah.
It's human, we're the ones. We need to take responsibility for our actions. It's not God's plan.
Yeah. So, like, God does not have a plan.
It was the consequences of the action. So, yes. That's what we're saying. Your actions have consequences, whether good or bad.
Yeah.
They have consequences. Yeah. And it's not God punishing anyone or anything.
So, God suffers the consequences of your action with you or with the perpetrator. So, once we make decisions that hurt ourselves or our neighbors, God is there suffering with, is the co-suffering God. Yeah. So yeah, back to injustice. Why I think, like I said, theology makes sin to thrive, or rather injustice thrive, and so we kind of like sweep everything under the blood, that the blood has cleansed, and so my sins are forgiven, right? So
what
yes,
would you say the better way to, what would you say is justice in the church?
So I feel like, so justice is coming face to face with the truth and allowing the truth to be Lord, right? And the truth is not necessarily, the truth is a person, like we like to say. The truth is love.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jesus. Yeah, I believe that. So so for the church, I feel like rather than thinking that you are protecting Jesus, you know, many times we don't want to like fall God's hand.
We
want to defend God. And so, right, so in the cause of defending God, many people would go under the bus, right? I feel like God does not need all those kind of protection.
He doesn't.
Right? We are the ones that need help, and we need to allow the love of God, the fire of God, free us from everything that keeps us from being fully free and fully alive. Right? So I feel like so there's a time I was there, I think when like scandals happen in church. Yeah, it's again, it's an indication that there is an issue.
Yeah,
right. Like there's a bullet lodged in our heart, a lie we have believed, and I think maybe this takes me to like sin. What is sin? Right. So I loved the Mirror Bible's rendition of sin as like sin is when the sin is the Greek word is hamartia, which is like so popularly we'll say missing the mark. we're missing the mark of perfection of performance. But Paul Young and Francois Dutoit, they'd be like, sin is missing the mark of an identity. That is who you truly are. So when the way of your being does not match the truth of your being, that is sin. Or wholeness is when the way of your being matches the truth of your being. So all so the actions of somebody, anybody that is sinful or wicked to our neighbor is because of the root cause is that we have believed a lie about ourselves and our neighbors. Right? So it's when the truth comes face to face with us to show us our sin that, okay, this is what you are, how you have acted. That's not who you truly are. This is who you truly are. Then we may now like repent.
That's the point. Coming to a place where they need to repent and to admit the fact that they've wronged. They've been in the wrong and they need to get their acts together.
Yeah.
That's what most people ask
For closure, right? So like I didn't
foreclosure and so more importantly so that it doesn't keep repeating itself over and over and over and so you don't give the notion of another person there that is a wolf thinking that I can do this and get away with it.
Yeah.
So just to face the consequences of your action.
And so the consequence of your action, so sometimes it's not funny, it's not nice.
It's not.
Like when the world, it will feel like the world has, you feel like let the world let the ground open
and swallow you.
But it's not going to open and swallow you.
You're going to face it. You're going to face it. And you come out better.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why people say hell is purgatory or it is divinization. The purpose of that fire is not for your destruction, but for your redemption.
Like to pass go through fire.
Exactly. So even when Paul said that every man's work will be tested with fire, but the person will be saved. So the fire is not to hurt you, but it's to save you, to free you from all the lies, all the wrong ideas you believed of yourself. So a lot of people are postponing their hell, right? A lot of people in power, right, may be postponing their hell. But again, like I said, hell is not for... It's not punishment, it's not retributive because of you have done this, this will, like, do me, I do you. But it has, the end goal is redemption or salvation. Yeah, that's kind of like what I think.
I also think that rather than the church always saying scandal as an attack on them, they should also know that the way that they handle scandal also says a lot about them. If you keep trying to cover up things. I don't even understand why you're trying to save people into a system that is not even safe for them. Do you get? Why do you want to save people and bring them into a system that is going to abuse them or hurt them? Open them to some kind of emotional nonsense. So I don't see the need. So I think the church should also know that the way it handles scandal is even more important than... It's not about saving your... People's emotions were hurt in these processes. Are they not anointed so? Are they not God's anointed also?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I feel like... so I think our vision of God, right? So if you think that God is a judge who... if we think that... So is God an unjust judge? Or is God a God of justice and mercy? Yeah, so we see God as truly, right? There is the evangelical vision of God that is unjust by default.
How?
The injustice of God, from my perspective, is that regardless of whether you have done anything good or bad, right, as long as you are in Jesus, right, you are free from the consequences of your action.
You believe that, or you're saying
that? I'm saying that that's what I perceive is popular out there. People. Yeah. So, but the truth is, but I think that your actions have consequences. But regardless of the consequences of your actions, you are loved by God.
True.
Right. So, and even when you,
I think the love should push you to do better.
Yes, exactly. So it's the love. Say we love him because of he first loved us.
Yes.
It's once you know the love of God, then you may now mirror and reflect that love. But like they say, abused people abuse others. Abused people abuse others. So when people have not really come to terms with any love in their lives, right? Sometimes it's maybe they don't know better. Not giving excuses for bad behavior. But it's just it's just what it is. So, but I feel like it's but saying that God is not just the lover of the church, but is the lover of the human race. Is the father of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible says that God, the one to whom all families of the earth is named. Right, in Him we live and move and have our being.
I also think for people who claim to be called to set about and bring. And be better examples. I think we are Charles, if you try and live up to all those, yeah, if you try and show the world a better example of how you handle.
Yeah.
So I don't think justice in the church is especially a bad thing or a godly thing.
Yeah, so but I think so. Justice should be, so we should, again, speak when things are not going according to the vision that God has shown us of heaven. Right, so like, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we see things in this world that is not according to how heaven is, or that God has shown us, then we should speak up. Right, that's justice.
And we should be able to listen with open ears.
Yes. And to love and to.
When you hear one thing once, twice, thrice, you should say, okay, there's something here. Let's look into it. Try to hush people up or shush them up.
Yeah. So and then to just. Again, remember the good news that we are all in, right? That we are all loved. Yes, we don't all know. I mean, even some, we don't all know. But this is according to Paul, this is a saying worthy of full acceptance that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind, especially the believers. You know what? Even the believers, Jesus saved them too. Did you know that?
No, they know. They just think that other people were not fine. See, they come to, I don't know.
Yeah. And just like what's his name? Martin Luther King, right? You know, he did so much for the world and the body of Christ because of he spoke against injustice. And what did he quote? He quoted 1 Corinthians 5. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Right, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
He quoted that.
So he was like, I have a dream that one day my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin. That is henceforth knowing no man after the flesh.
Oh, okay.
Right, but now you see that now we want to judge people by how they identify Christian.
Flesh.
Sort of like
Christian, wealthy. Literate,
reading the body of Christ. Yeah. So I think through justice is right, not seeing people how God sees them without all the labels and tags as brothers and sisters, children of God that God loves and gives himself for.
So in other words, justice is not a bad thing.
Yeah, so justice is good. It's good. But there should not be, so we should be beacons of light, you know, models of true justice, right? But by justice is not, so let's not use the gospel or a perverted gospel as a basis to, let's say, a culture injustice, to culture injustice in our society, or to create a culture of injustice.
Yeah.
That so I defraud my neighbor. I'll say that by the blood of Jesus, like once
your
saved, only
is
saved,
great in heaven.
You know, and all those things. Yeah. So let's just love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God, and knows God. Any final word?
No. You know, we should pay your Christian brethren their money for their businesses. Okay, I'm not kidding, but yes, that's my last one.
Yeah, alright.
A special shout out to Rem.
Alright, bye.
Alright, bye guys.
Alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams @DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now.